Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun. Stop by now and join the fun.
Hello. How are you doing tonight? I'm excited for tonight's show. It's weird, I had heard the intro, I heard everything, and definitely not hearing you now.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I am way better than it appears that Blog Talk Radio is.
So are we on there now?
I believe we are, but I have no way of knowing. No intro, no actual connection. When I brought you over originally, I had nothing. So I was just owing to how much I love Blog Talk Radio.
Well, and the fun part was,
why?
I had heard your intro, I heard about your non-government name, and then I heard the beep to bring me over, and you were not there.
Right,
so,
and I brought
I
you
don't
over
know
and you weren't there.
I don't know how magically now you said hello and knew I was there, but it seems to be
well,
connected
I,
now.
You see, I'm handling the studio operations, and let me tell you how challenging it is. When apparently Blog Talk is experiencing an issue with the host line, then guests call in function, and their engineers are actively working to resolve the issue. Watch for updates.
Well,
how about let me know whether or not it's going to friggin' work? Because clearly, I'm very disappointed, and I feel like we should be given a refund. Blog Talk
I'm wondering
radio.
if we should continue with the show, postpone the show. I'm not sure what the best option is because if
you know, I'm not sure
calling,
because to be honest with you, I'm not sure if I'll know when the guest has called in or actually be able to bring our guest in to the show and actually have them be here. I'm rather concerned, and it's a true and utter disappointment because I was really excited about our guest this evening, and that makes me sad.
Well,
although,
well, you know, I am
here
as well, and we got KSTUS
And now you're back, maybe.
I am back. I don't know where I went, but I did hear a beeping noise.
It took you over into the it took you into the
Well, I should, on that note, maybe we should postpone.
Well, our guest
show.
Is in. Our guest is in right now, and he's in the listening queue. I can attempt to bring him over. I don't know if it's going to work. Should we try?
You know, at this point, why not? We can tell him.
All
we
right.
can tell him live on radio.
Well, why don't you introduce the guest, and then we will bring him in live, hopefully.
We have actor Jim Krutt tonight, and let's bring him on. Let's just go for it, because it might take
All
a
right.
second to bring him on.
Let's see if it works.
No. Can you hear me now?
Hello.
Yeah.
We
you know
can.
What?
Hi there.
Miracle.
That's what we're all about, miracles, right?
Well, you know,
that's
miracles
That's right, and apparently
happen,
we just had one.
And it's funny because we pay good money for our service, and we have a message right now by the service we pay for that, what is the message, Nicole? It says that the engineers are working
and that
on
we are
the
currently,
issues at
currently
hand.
Experiencing an issue with the host line and guest call-in functions. And don't worry, don't you worry, our engineers are actively working to resolve the issue, apparently.
And they tell
apparently.
Us that once we get on air. So, you know,
yeah.
it's...
Lovely.
It's always a shocker. So we apologize in advance if anything paranormal
yeah.
happens. But it would be fitting to our genre.
True that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Jim may not even... Oh, you're there. So that's good. I had thought maybe
yeah.
we're not there.
No, I'm just listening to the discussion.
Yeah. a discussion or rant or whatever you want to call it. But anyway, I'm
yeah.
glad you were able to call in, even with the functions not functioning properly. And we were saying that it was a pleasure to sit down for lunch on Sunday with you, and
yeah.
we look forward to tonight's show.
I enjoyed getting together with you, and I appreciate you having me on this evening.
I still have to question that salad that I had, because it was I've been. I never had anything like that before. And you know, I should have...
It was more like a log
know.
Of lettuce.
It was. I've never had a waitress ask me if they actually wanted me to chop it up. And I didn't understand what that meant. And I said, no, I'm okay. And when I look back, I guess in hindsight, I should have went for that option. I guess they ask you that for a reason.
That
yep.
gives you something to do with your knife and fork, you know. It's good exercise.
True.
It is. It helps burn calories, I guess, for the upcoming meal. But anyway, we these technical issues tonight are really a bummer. But like I mentioned, you know, it's great to have you on tonight. And for the people who do not know, I was wondering if maybe you can give a little background on yourself.
Sure. Probably, if folks know me, it's from my role as the helicopter zombie in George Romero's 1978 classic film, Dawn of the Dead. It was the second film in what he called a trilogy, starting with Night of the Living Dead in 1968, and then Dawn of the Dead in 1978, and Day of the Dead in 1985. Then he kept adding to the trilogy with Land of the Dead, Diary of the Dead, and Burp of the Dead, and all sorts of cool stuff. But his essential beginning was to do the trilogy. And I think he did it pretty successfully and established himself as, I would say, one of the progenitors of the entire horror and zombie film world, if that's not too
yes.
broad of a term, because his influence has literally been worldwide.
Definitely.
In terms of me, since that time, that was 1978, I just sat around since then. No, actually, I've been kind of busy. I worked in Pittsburgh for about 7 years in theater, and it was during that time that Tom Savini cast me for the role as the helicopter zombie for Dawn of the Dead. I took a hiatus when I moved from Pittsburgh from both theater and film for a while. And probably till about 2000, 2001, when I did a film called The Guatemalan Handshake. And since then, I've done maybe 20 or 25 additional films.
Wow.
So I've been trying to
Very
trying to
cool.
keep busy.
Sounds like you've done that for sure. That's a lot of a lot of work there.
Oh yeah, it's spread out. Sometimes it's a short role, sometimes it's a little more involved. Sometimes it takes a while to put the films together because oftentimes they're independent, and they depend a lot on financing, volunteers. If you don't have a big green screen studio, then if you're working outside. And you're trying to make sure that it's a consistent background as far as the scenery, like the woods, that one day it's not snowing and the next day all the leaves are on the trees and then it's back to bare leaves again or something. So just for continuity and consistency, when you're shooting, you know, outside on a budget, you have to make the most and the best use of the time to... you know, capture what you can in an outdoor environment. You can control the indoors a lot more than that, of course, but it's sometimes a struggle. I know the most recent film that we just premiered was Darkness Waits, and actually it's going to be coming up as another showing in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, on October 10th at the theater there. There was originally a cast and crew viewing of the film, but it filled the theater, so they're having another showing on October 10th, and that film was about 4 years in the making, just to give you an idea what sometimes it can take to do independent films when you really want to do them right. Anybody can kind of slap together a quick series of scenes and say that's a movie, but if you're really concerned about the sound and the color correction and the audio, camera angles, and you know the continuity of the story, it takes a little longer.
Wow, definitely, it's a labor of love for sure.
Now, I guess we'll start with your iconic role. When you were asked to do that, you know, when I guess, did you foresee the kind of longevity that scene would have? I mean, you're looking at what, 40, coming in on 42 years. You know, is that something when you shot that? Did you think, wow, this is going to be something that 42 years down the road, people are going to be like, wow, you know, there's Jim. And it's, you know, the iconic role.
Of course, we all knew that was going to be wonderful. And it would have that longevity. Well, you know, truthfully, though, I'd watched a lot of horror films, monster films, and I'd never seen anything like that effect up to that point. So I figured, to a large extent, it was going to be somewhat groundbreaking. But at the same time, all of my scenes with the helicopter and at the airport were literally at the airport. I had no idea what was going on with the rest of the movie. So I had no idea what the other zombies looked like, walked like, whether they talked or ran, how they were killed off, if you know, even if they spoke. So it was kind of an interesting experience when you find yourself somewhat in a slot and you say, I don't know what the heck else is going on, but I'm going to do the best I possibly can with this role. It may be the only time I ever get onto the big screen. I want it to be memorable for myself and hopefully for others. You want to feel like you've done your best. I've been working in theater for 7 years at that point in Pittsburgh with two different theater companies. And we were touring with the second company all over the United States, literally. Even with a couple weeks in Scotland with the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. We went everywhere from the O'Hare Convention Center to MIT and in Boston to the Stiletto Festival, and every place in between. So I was used to doing a lot of performing, and when you're on stage, you put everything you can into each and every moment, because there's no, oops, excuse me, I made a mistake, we'll go back and we'll do that again. When you're on stage, you have to continue with the role. So you don't say, well, I'll just kind of do it this time, and then I'll do it better maybe the third time. There isn't a third time. There's only one time to do it. So I kind of went into it with that aspect as well. And a number of friends I worked with in theater, actually, too, were also in Dawn of the Dead. So as an effect, it's amazing to me that it's still listed as one of the top five zombie deaths of all times. And that's after not just Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead and Land of the Dead, but so many other zombie-type movies, such as, you know, 28 Days Later and Warm Bodies and you name it. There's so many zombie movies out there. Now, the tricky part of that is George Romero never called them zombies. They were just ghouls or the undead. It was we, the fans,
right,
who made the movies what they are and kind of characterized them as zombies.
That's awesome.
Well, in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of most, it kind of set the tone, that movie, for, you know, zombie movies from that point on. It's like, how do you top that? And I guess you can't. You know, even with today's effects, and you know, you mentioned 28 Days Later and stuff, and you have probably the advancement of the effects, it's still, that would be in the top five is kind of mind-boggling.
Oh, it really is. And when you talk about the effects, a lot of those things were being invented at the time. They had not been done. So Tom Savini, he and I were pretty good friends, and he did those makeup and special effects, literally some of them on the fly, some of them he had planned for. But he really thought things through for the camera so that even if you ran it in slow motion, you slowed it down, you zoomed in on it, it still looked pretty doggone good. It wasn't, you know, well, here's a cheesy hit. No, that stuff looked really pretty cool. And everybody was into it. So he invented a lot of both materials, techniques, and effects. And even though maybe other people picked up on them later or improved on them, and he himself would have improved on them. And created, you know, particular ways of doing things that were faster, easier, more effective, more realistic. So it was a pioneering time as well, especially for those types of special effects. Is there a different look to them compared to a lot of the, CG imagery you would see on screen today? That's computer generated. I would say yes. Sometimes on a cheaper film, you're going to say, I see that horse is not really in front of, you know, a waterfall or something. Green screen type stuff. The types of effects that you can kind of throw in quickly. But when you're using what's called practical effects that are made and done right then and there, I guess it is hard to beat. It's a difference between home cooking and just pulling something out of the freezer.
Well, and I think when you mentioned, you know, pioneering, you figure what came from, you know, something like that. You look at even like a show like Face Off, you know, that would that show even exist if it wasn't for, you know, movies that kind of pioneered the way?
Well, not only the movies. But if you watched Face Off, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Tom Savini later formed the Douglas School of Makeup and Special Effects. And on a couple of seasons of the Face Off series, the finalist would be his students.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
It's not just something that he did and then is left to, to be a legacy on film. He has passed that knowledge on, and he has worked with his instructors like Jerry Gergely for the last 18 years I worked with Jerry on another film where we did some special effects, and he stuck a couple arrows in me, which was kind of a cool effect. That was a film called 1224. But it's that, so it's not just look what I did, but at the same time, it's how is that knowledge being passed on? And what are people doing now that they've got this boost in how to work on special effects, you know, how to put something on someone's skin without damaging them, you know, how to make sure mm-hmm. that they're not allergic to the makeup materials, how to shoot things at a certain angle just to give a particular effect. Just as Tom, and Tom is also a big fan of live theater, and Dracula is one of his favorite shows. So, as he calls it, it should be magic. When the audience watches, it should be magic. And there are ways you can do some of that stuff on stage, but of course in film, in the movies, you have many more tricks you can pull out without the audience really, in a sense, being aware of it, but just hopefully sitting back and being amazed and entertained.
Well, you know, and I know my kids love Face Off. So, you know, it's sad to see that show end, but I guess, you know, it had to. And it, some of their costumes, the advancement was insane compared to, you know, the movies back in the day. And it was just mm-hmm. very interesting to see the advancement of the technology and everything used, like you said.
Well, as you say, you're dealing with what appears to be an hour-long show, but, you know, they're going back, they're working on something, coming back and forth. But in some cases, they only have a limited amount of time, very tight time frame, to build these things, put them together. When I was getting my head cast for the helicopter zombie role, there's a layer of alginate that goes on that. That has to dry. That's on my face and head. And then plaster covering that, and that has to be applied and dried, done in layers. Well, how do you breathe through all of that? Well, it takes half an hour, 40 minutes, 45 minutes for that stuff to dry. You're breathing through a straw. So hopefully you're not too claustrophobic or paranoid while that's going on, because you have to be very trusting of the person doing the makeup. So the makeup person is not just a technician who's slapping stuff on and saying, I'm going to make this. They have to be cognizant that there's a human being under the makeup. And if that human being gets too uncomfortable, starts to sweat too much, has to twitch, or can't scratch an itch or whatever it may be, or can't, you know, get enough hydration, you'd say, gee, the makeup's going to fail, but you know, you might have a person with a serious health issue as a result. So you have to be sensitive and really identify with the person you're doing the makeup on to make sure that you're in tune with them, they're comfortable each step of the way, and that, you know, they're also being part of the experience, not just a figure, but, you know, a character that you're helping them create if you're the makeup person.
Now, when you got this role, prior to getting it, the genre of horror, What was your interest level in that prior to this role? Is this something that kind of you had an interest in prior to, or is it something that, you know, now because you had that iconic role, you know, then you kind of ran with it?
You mean prior to the role?
Yes. Were you?
Absolutely loved every movie from you know, the horrible Dr. Fibes to Dracula, Frankenstein, the Wolfman, the Mummy. You know, it came from outer space, the thing, you know, I loved each and every one of them. That's what I grew up on. And to me, what greater role could there be than being like Dracula? So I've portrayed Dracula on stage a couple times too, which has been fantastic fun. But to be able to do a film role and then have people say, man, that's impressive. That's, in a sense, iconic. That's a very special role. But it just, in a sense, helps me live my boyhood dreams.
Right. And I think those movies, I don't know anyone who hasn't seen, you know, those movies, and they kind of, you know, set the tone, but still, Dawn of the Dead, I think, took it to another level. It's a complete different, you know, when I
watch, yes, absolutely.
When I watch the others, you know, it's more, you know, obviously with the black and white, but not stating the obvious. It just it stepped it up to the next level, and I think that's when you mentioned Pioneer. I think that's the perfect tag for that movie.
Well, the other thing that George pioneered, I think, is the whole idea of the transition going from the earlier monster films, where if it's a Japanese film, you have Gojira, Godzilla, Mothra, Rodan, and you have this great big monster that stomps all over Japan and kills Tokyo and then goes back into the sea or is destroyed by nuclear weapons or whatever it is. And the point is the entire population, the entire world is united against it. And in the other individual Universal monster films, as in Universal Studios, gee, you have this Frankenstein's monster, in a sense a zombie, and gee, all the people in town come out with pitchforks and torches, and they want to put down the monster. And if the Wolfman is out tearing up people, well, everybody gets together at the bar and they say, let's grab our guns and pitchforks and torches and let's go out and hunt the Wolfman. So essentially, they all gathered. And your community was your salvation. That was your fortress. You trusted and believed in your neighbors to come out with you and help hunt down the menace that was threatening all of you. Except when George Romero turned it into, what if all your neighbors are the problem? What if they are the problem? So literally, that's what George Romero said, that why zombies were so scary, because they're your neighbors. They're identifiable. In his films, they move slowly enough. You can say, yeah, hey, that looks like the nurse up the street and the teacher and the gas station attendant and the construction worker. They're people or character types you could identify. And in a sense, you begin to build a little sympathy for them because they don't kind of know what they're doing. They're just mindlessly going about eating people for whatever reason they're driven to do that. And it wasn't until 1985 and Return of the Living Dead. And if you've seen that, that's a bit of a spoof, but that's where the zombies are eating brains. George Romero never had the zombies eating brains. That came about from another interpretation of what the zombies are. Some of them moved a lot faster. And in that film, a couple of them even talked. Like where the two police officers are responding, they drive in to this area and all the zombies pull them out and they're eating them. Eating the two police officers. And over the crackle of the radio comes this call that says, do you officers need assistance or something? And one of the zombies goes to the mic and said, send more cops. So it's, you know, it's a little different progression, a little different turn and a twist of it. And it's the whole thing, really, of how zombies came about, which is initially they were slaves. They were mindless workers in the sugar plantations or the farms and fields, and that's why they were being created, either through voodoo or through chemicals and ritual deaths and so forth, to work for no pay in the fields and just do the master's bidding. So it wasn't until sometime later, like in Night of the Living Dead, that these literal zombies started to eat people. So that was a change. They were a threat then. Before, they were just kind of mindless workers. Now, you're an active but slow-moving threat. And then you have this phase where all the zombies are running, and then they slow down again in time to watch The Walking Dead on AMC. And it's interesting because Greg Nicotero, who did The Walking Dead, also had worked with Tom Savini on Day of the Dead, George Romero's Day of the Dead, and Creepshow. So interestingly, Greg has a new show that he's doing on Shudder through AMC, and that is the new version of Creepshow on television. And Tom Savini's doing one of the episodes, at least one of them, of directing one of those episodes for Greg. So in a sense, it's kind of an incestuous circle, but again, it's the talent that just informs and teaches and keeps rolling and improving. And there's a certain comfort level you have working with people you trust and that you know what they can do. And so, of course, you bring them in. That's why certain people continue to get roles. And, you know, I guess get to be a little better known.
Right.
I feel like I'm talking too much here. Probably have a few.
No, not at all.
No, it's actually good for us when I actually had you introduce yourself. I very rarely do that, but we I kept bouncing back and forth to being on air, off air. So it was really a challenge with our technical difficulties today. So
yeah,
it's great because you have a steady connection, and that works out really well. So, no, but I was going to say, it's funny how our genre of the paranormal, you know, ties in very well with the horror and especially the zombie aspect, because you know, there's different ways it ties in, but you know, that's why when I asked you if you had any beliefs in the paranormal, and you said you do somewhat, you know, what is your take on what we do? You know, we've been asking you about, you know, what you do and when I talk about zombies, but what is your beliefs in the paranormal?
Well, that goes back a ways. Actually, when I was in the Army, and I had an apartment off post in San Antonio, and two other guys that were in the Army with me moved into the apartment, and it was an old house, five apartments, but there was only, I think, one or two of the apartments that were occupied. We found out why. There were just too many types of phenomena going on. And it wasn't something we were searching for. And over a period of weeks and months, it was a pretty harrowing experience that we were enduring at that point. So I realized both the power and the persistence of some of those types of forces, I would say, in energies, because it's nothing we were looking to do. Let's go out and look for spirits or demons in this place. We didn't have to look. They were finding us. So it was a matter of us trying to find ways to deal with it. So when people say, would you like to do an investigation? I think I've only done one. And that was a few years ago at the Weston Plantation down around Richmond, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting because I talked to one of the four sort of docents or guides who were at the house. And I said, you guys are here a lot. I said, anything ever happened to you? And they all looked at each other, and then they all looked at me, and one said, well, there's this room I'll never go back into again. And another one told me about, you know, the footsteps going up and down the stairs like children. They used to live in the house, and they still hear the footsteps. And the, you know, the difficulty of keeping help. The woman who was upstairs and came running down said, I'm not working here anymore. I quit. That lady upstairs doesn't like me, and I don't like her. Okay, well, of course, there was no other human lady upstairs, but they found it was getting difficult to keep help. And keep the place clean, just because there were so many things going on. We experienced our own, you know, paranoias and fears going through it. But I was happy to be out of it. And I decided, I don't want anything tagging along with me when I go home. I like to sort of close the door and leave it all outside. And as much as I might desire that, I understand that's not always something that you can control.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll throw the ball back into your court in terms of, you know, how you guys deal with that, and how others who have had those types of experiences deal with what we might call attachments? Or how do you get rid of something like that?
Well,
Rob,
you go. that is something that you have to be mindful of. And as much as you would like to think that it's not a possibility, you need to realize that it is a possibility because of the stories that we hear. You know, either be it attachments or, you know, a spirit visiting you. I don't know how or why it happens. There's precautions you can take, steps you can take prior to going to an investigation. And some of it all based on, you know, folklore. It's just, it's not, there's no right answer. There's no proper step. And once you have that attachment, you know, it is hard to figure out what the next step is if you do have one. Now, the thing that I think is, you know, something to be aware of is because now there has been, you know, movies and the paranormal television shows and everyone talks about attachments and, you know, especially it's always negative. You know, there's also positive attachments. But because it's been, you know, the stereotype is, oh, it's a demon or, oh, it's negative. You know, I would say 99% of the time, someone who thinks they have an attachment, it's just, you know, as you mentioned, paranoia, it is self-generated. You know, you might go and do an investigation or have been a place that's haunted and bad things are happening to you in general. That might just be the draw of bad luck. It's not necessarily that, you know, the guy who haunts that building is now haunting your bedroom. You know, it's just keeping the proper mindset. And the one thing that we're supposed to do, and I'll be honest with you, I do not always do it. And I shouldn't say do not always do it, because that's even more than I don't do it, is when you leave an investigation, you should say, hey, if anything is with me now, you know, go back to where you came from. You're not welcome. It's something you know, I just, that took me 3 seconds to say. And, you know, a lot of times we're going out of the buildings at 3, 4, 5 in the morning. And at 3, 4, 5 in the morning, I'm concentrating on getting sleep, not necessarily saying those words in that 5 seconds. But, you know, that in my mindset, there's no handbook to say that's going to work, but it would. Why not for 5 seconds? But, you know, so that I would say something like that, if you think you do have an attachment, you know, just to tell it to go back to where it came from or where it originated from or where it's supposed to be, and you're not interested in, you know, having it around you. And I think that's the one thing you can do without, you know, bringing in your religious or spiritual beliefs, because that's a universal thing. Say, hey, I don't want you here.
Mm-hmm. Now that makes sense. So it gives a little closure to the event or the experience as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just mentally, I think saying that, you know, does give closure to, hey, something might be following me. Now, is it really following you? It could be. I have situations and stuff that happen to us that we are talking about something or doing something prior to going to the investigation, and then it comes true at the investigation. Is that because they knew we were coming? Is it because they were already listening? You know, I don't know. But, you know, there are things that happen ahead of time that then transpire on our investigation. You know, we work with psychics, and psychics have said to us, they know you're coming. Now, to me, that's beyond my scale of, like, belief. I can't believe that I have an investigation planned from 2 weeks from now, but the spirits already know I'm coming. You know, how do they know that? And, you know, we've had, you know, scenarios happen where we've then gone to the building and said, hey, we've heard, you know, that we're coming. And they've given my full first and last name through our devices.
Yeah.
And they didn't know my name. I never told them my name. So, You know, I don't know. You know, I do believe they can, the spirits can travel, you know, and they can attach you. You know, is it, then you're looking at items. You know, and now a real popular thing are items that have attachments to it. You know, so that's become mainstream. So I guess it does base too on what's currently hot in the, you know, the media or on television, and definitely I would say more than when I started by probably 10 times is the haunted items, you know, because there's been shows out there about items that are haunted and, you know, the different movies that are out there. And that's one thing that we deal with all the time. And it's interesting that people say, hey, come take this out of here because it's haunted. You know, it gets a chair or a doll or, you know, whatever. So, you know, it's interesting when you really peel away at all the different aspects of the paranormal.
Definitely.
Well, it sounds like you've gone through a lot of those different levels and experiences.
We have been very fortunate, if you look at it that way, in having the opportunity to have those experiences.
Oh yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They usually happen when you're not looking for them, and that's how everyone gets started. You know, it's either something happens, or you know, we travel around and we speak in very, I guess pop culture type events or conventions, not necessarily just paranormal. And it's either, so it's, I would say 50% something has happened to that person and got them to sit in that room. The other 40% is somebody lost someone close to them and they want to try to communicate. The other 10% just think it's really cool. You know, so 90% of the time it's something that's personally affecting that individual. Either they've had an experience or they want to communicate with a loved one. And so you're not always looking for it. It's something that has happened to you in one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what propels you into trying to, you know, figure things out.
I guess a lot of different experiences bring people into the field. And, you know, again, from my own personal experiences, I tend to be a little more reclusive when it comes to invitations to do an investigation or to, hey, y'all want to come see this bunch of demons in a barrel? No, thanks. not for me. Not today. I think I'm going to be busy, whatever that day is going to be.
Well, so what you're saying now on air is when we're going to be together in a couple of weeks at an kind of an event in Gettysburg. So what you're telling us is that we're probably not going to be able to lure you into our investigation.
I have gone through the Farnsworth House in Gettysburg in previous years, but not necessarily to do an investigation, but just to, you know, see. I'm always interested in architecture and historical construction as well. And I'm always amazed at how short people were at the times too, because a lot of the doorways are lower and the rooms are smaller and the beds are shorter.
Yeah.
And I'm 6'4" and I always bump my head. This is another reason I don't go into a lot of older buildings because I bump my head too much.
Especially
you would definitely
attic.
Bump your head in our attic, yep. Because I am not tall at all. And I hit my head at least 3 times a night, almost knocking myself unconscious at least one time. And if I go up during the day, I hit my head additional times. So, yes, it's a very low ceiling. I remind everyone, but always somebody else hits their head too, so I don't feel so bad. But you're definitely taller than most of our average guests, so I'm... Yeah, you'd pretty much have to, like, walk bent over to go into the attic. That's not
Again. Oh, I think you should also maybe have helmets available, but that's just my personal
self-protection.
You know, self-protection.
I actually was told I was told I should wear a helmet, and I said, you know, I would, but it's really hot up there. More often than not, I've been running all over the place. It's warm, and... You know, I definitely don't know how that would do for my hair. Not that it would matter at that point, but it would be better than being knocked almost unconscious. So, Maybe I should get a helmet.
well, the one thing that I can guarantee you, and I guess I don't usually make guarantees when it comes to the paranormal.
He doesn't.
So this is kind of like an almost guarantee. You know, I don't feel there are any demons in the Farnsworth. So there's very specific spirits or entities that we do talk to. Occasionally you'll get thrown for a loop and there'll be someone different or a different spirit come through. But it's for myself, it seems like I have specific ones that I talk to, and there's definitely not the attachment or the demon ready to come home with you. So that much I can let you know. It's a little bit of investigating. I'm not going to lie. It's mostly investigating. The ghost hunts there are definitely different than the history tours, but it's a cool place to investigate because I feel as if these spirits are there for a specific reason and stay there. Because they're always, it seems like it's the same ones. We've been going there for a long time, doing investigations for a long time, and, you know, we even get the same voices come through. So I believe that they're there for a specific reason, and they do stay there.
Well, I know the Farnsworth House has quite a reputation for activity, as it were, and, you know, for years. And some years ago, I believe a radio station came in to do a Halloween broadcast from inside, and none of the equipment would work. When they came back outside, all the equipment would work. So it kind of freaked them out that, there was something different going on inside the walls. So, I would say public types of demonstrations of that power or the spiritual presences. And no, so it wasn't just an individual, hey, I think something happened to me. Nobody saw it, but I think, no, this was supposed to be a live broadcast from the Farnsworth House. So it's a fascinating place with a great history. And I'm looking forward to, teaming up with you guys there and having a great time on the 11th of October.
Yes.
I guess we're starting around 7 o'clock. Yeah.
Yes, and so 7 o'clock p.m., obviously, on Friday the 11th. You know, I don't say p.m. and then someone's going to show up at 7 a.m. for breakfast. You know, so you never know. You like to assume, but you don't always assume.
True.
So
yep.
Friday, October 11th, starting at 7 p.m., you can come out and meet Jim in the beer garden, weather pending. But if not, we will be in the tavern. And, come in for a meet and greet. Admission is free, and Jim will have a bunch of merchandise and a bunch of cool things to get signed or purchase right off of Jim. So if you're in the Gettysburg area, or even if you're not in the Gettysburg area, you should get there at the Farnsworth House.
And it's also in the location is on my website also, which is hellazombie.com, HELIZOMBIE, hellazombie.com. And it talks about the upcoming appearances, and we'll be having it on there. So,
well, I know you can buy signed photos right off the website. So if you're not going to be in town on the 11th in Gettysburg and you want to purchase a photo, just go to that website and, make it happen.
There you go.
Yeah, I have to do some updates. I was planning to do that this past week, and I had to do some unexpected travel. So if it's not up there yet, it will be by tomorrow. How's that?
That sounds good.
Beautiful.
We appreciate you calling in. We appreciate you sticking through our weird start. I'll be honest with you, I can't remember the last time we've had technical issues that actually – that happened like this. So it kind of threw us for a loop, and appreciate you sticking it out while we were fumbling through the start of that because it's paranormal. So I guess what else would you expect?
Oh, sure. It's perfect, right?
It's all, to all what we do. It's, we might have even staged it on purpose just to draw the audience in.
Well, thanks again very much for having me on. And we look forward to getting together with you on the 11th. And stay safe and stay happy until then.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
You too.
All right, take care. Nada.
Well, there you go. We made it through even with the technical difficulties of our system. And it was a great interview. I really enjoyed Jim, and I'm looking forward to meeting up with him on the 11th, and I'm sure we're gonna have a good time. We should try to sneak him in, see if we have any. Get anything.
I know. That's what I was.
We got to now.
I know.
He was like, yeah.
We
I
have
don't really.
To. Like,
you know what? The bottom line, like, anyone who's ever investigated with me or been around me knows, like, if you say, hey, I don't think I want to do that, that's not the right thing you ever say around me.
Yeah. So, that is 100% truth. 100%. Yes.
So we will have some videos of Jim investigating with us on the 11th. I'm just teasing, but not really.
But we would love to have him. We would love to have him if he was feels comfortable and compelled to. We would love
to
have him, not only us as Live Paranormal, but as well as the Farnsworth House. We'd love to have him investigate. That would be absolutely awesome. And hopefully everyone will come out to that meet and greet. Enjoy some... with some lovely beverages in the beer garden, some food, buy a sweatshirt, you know, get an autograph, buy a photo, you know, and enjoy themselves.
Come dressed up as a zombie.
If you want to, hey.
Why not?
If you want to, go for it. Maybe you can impress him with your, you know, with your skills of putting together your look.
Yes, you actually come dressed as the helicopter zombie.
Yeah.
And
I feel as though
I would
need to drive my Walking Dead mobile, but unfortunately my Walking Dead mobile is a bit of a zombie in itself because it's right now dead, and I'm hoping that it becomes one and comes back to life. Hopefully.
That's the irony.
I doubt it'll happen that fast, but considering right now it's in pieces, parts of it in the interior. I don't know. But hopefully that would be really neat. It would be fun. Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to it. And I'm hoping that the weather cooperates. You know, I would love a nice fall feeling evening, you know, where it's like sweater weather, you know.
Well, and
that would be
something
fantastic.
It would be good, a universal like attic and basement where it's not like I finally realized why, you know, there's a lot of times that you come down with like sinus infections and stuff, and I think it has to do with the fact that the attic is over 100 degrees, the basement is cool, and I think it's the going up and down because I have been dealing with the same exact issue you had last week. Because I just did.
Well, guess what? I feel like it came back. I feel like it came back. It's starting again, which I'm really hoping is not the case. Because this afternoon while I was at work at the lovely Farnsworth House, I was sitting there going, wow, I don't feel so hot. And I'm like,
mine is awful.
No, it can't happen again. Not only can I not handle another day of backlog of things to do, but on top of it, I just really don't want to feel icky, you know? So my handful of ibuprofen, it helped a little, but just it didn't really knock that, you know, that sick ick feeling, you know, that you get. Definitely happening, and hoping that I can put that far, far, far away.
Well, I actually started getting sick at the Farnsworth on Saturday. And one of the employees there was like, hey, are you getting sick? And I'm like, I don't know. And it turned out it just kept escalating from that point. And then by the time yesterday rolled around, I was like, oh, my God, I'm sick. And then today it was just like dead. But it was great because I still was able to pull through. And I don't know if you noticed this, but we made an official announcement today that Live Paranormal, the mm-hmm. owners of Live Paranormal, which is you and I, now mm-hmm. own ParanormalRadio.com, and it will be the official yeah. sister site of LiveParanormal.com and Live Paranormal Radio.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people who reached out and was like, wow, that's amazing. How did you get that? And I was like, you know, that I can't tell you, but we have it now. And we also right. released information on 5 new shows. We have 2 new shows that we're releasing also information on tomorrow. And everything is going pretty amazing at the Live Paranormal headquarters.
Yes. Which is an amazing and awesome announcement. Therefore,
you know what? ParanormalRadio.com has been around since 2001. It was attached to Coast to Coast Radio at one point, and you know, it was always a very productive website, but now we own it. So,
well, now it needs to continue, clearly. I mean,
yes.
That's, you know, only the natural progression that it needs to make. So
that was
that's very exciting. And
the website is now up, and it's up with a 1-page press release that says that we now own it with our pictures. So yay for us.
Yay for us. Yay for us.
I haven't said yay for us in a while, but we deserve it.
I know. That was a nice feeling there for a second. It's like the yay for us. Because we often throw out yays for others, but to have a yay for us is exciting too.
And dates and everything that we said that we were going to do for the October 1st release actually happened on October 1st. So,
and I have to say a very big thank you to you, because I actually have been very overwhelmed and you know, with everything that I've been taking on in regards to my job. I've been there. It feels like every day it just gets a little longer and longer. Don't get me wrong, I do love my job, but you know, it's become incredibly time consuming. So I know that was largely, you. So I'd like to thank you for doing all that work, because I have pretty much been like worthless, and I apologize for that.
You haven't been worthless. Without you, we wouldn't have Live Paranormal where it was today. And I appreciate the little thank you. That goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely not worthless,
yeah.
because we wouldn't still be here without all the sacrifices and how you took Live Paranormal and ran with it when I had my bit of absence. So absence happened, and now we're moving forward from this point forward. And
mm-hmm.
I just am happy that we set the deadline and hit it. So that was cool.
Definitely. Well, that lady is screaming really loudly,
you know,
in my ear.
It's
Let me know that
can,
we are
she
at.
She can come through and
oh.
say that. And they still have that functioning
yeah.
pretty well.
Super Weird. Loud, as a matter of fact. Before she yells again, I think we should go ahead and tell everyone to have a wonderful week. Remember to go check out Jim Krutz's website. Go over to the Farnsworth page on Facebook. Give that a like and follow, and come out on the 11th and do the meet and greet at the Farnsworth House in Gettysburg with Jim Krutz and Live Paranormal. And we'll see you then. Have a wonderful week. We'll be back next week with an amazing guest. Have a
yes,
wonderful,
we have,
wonderful,
we have
wonderful.
Amazing guest all October.
Yes. Okay, she's yelling 10 seconds. It's time to go. Have a
nah,
wonderful
bye.
Night, everybody. Bye-bye.